back there and the care that they give to them. This is the love of God for you. He wants you close to him. He wants your heart, but he's not going to force you. See, if he's going to force you, it'd all be over and done by now. We'd all just be like an army, everybody in line and doing what they're supposed to do, and nobody would dare do anything else. But his kingdom is not ruled by fear top down like that, but it's a kingdom of love. It's absolutely a kingdom of love. And many of you heard me say this before, but that's my only regret as a Christian for over 50 years now, is that for half that time, I didn't know. I knew about the love of God. I knew it as a doctrine, but I didn't know that I know that I know that I know that it's really, really true. He really, really loves you. And I think it's possible to get that message maybe about 10% and think you got it, but you don't really have it until it gets inside of you. It changes everything. And so that's why the first miracle Jesus did was at a wedding. He loves weddings. Isn't that amazing? The Bible started with a wedding. It ends with a wedding. And there's a wedding at the very beginning of his ministry. And so why don't we just take a look at that quickly. Good to see John Scotland here. Give us a wave, John and Jean. And John was in Australia. Was it last year or 2 years ago? 2 years ago, we're in Melbourne, Australia, at a church whose pastor, his name is John Arnott, believe it or not. And he's in our network and all kinds of good things. But anyway, John Scotland was just leaving, and we were just coming. And he preached on this wedding from John chapter 2, and it was just an unbelievable talk. And I said to his wife, Jean, have you ever heard that talk before? And she said, never. It sounded like something that had been honed over the years, you know. It was just really good. But anyway, I want to have you turn to it. John chapter 2, verse 4. No, we'll back up. I'll start at the beginning. On the third day. Now, that's significant, by the way. On the third day. We're into the third day, meaning we're into the third millennium after Jesus right now. There was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. And it may well have been one of his sisters that was getting married here, or perhaps one of his brothers, we don't know. How many know Jesus had sisters and brothers? But they were Joseph's children, as over against God's children. And when they ran out of wine, mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. Woman, what does your concern have to do with me? My hour has not yet come. It's an interesting answer. I won't go into it. But his mother had a very good response and said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. So there are 6 water pots of stone, according to the manner of purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons apiece. So you got, I don't know, 25 times 6 is 150 gallons of water. Jesus said, fill them up to the brim with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And then he said to them, draw some out now and take to the master of the feast. And they took it, and when the master of the feast had tasted the water that was now made wine and did not know where it came from, but the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of that feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man at the beginning sets out the good wine, and when the guests have well drunk, then the inferior. But you have kept the good wine until now. And see, this is a very, very prophetic time for us people. The new wine of the Spirit is being poured out all over the place. And we're seeing a resurgence of this now in North America. We had an unbelievable blowout meeting as we closed off the conference last night. Were any of you there? How many were there? Did you have fun? Wasn't that amazing? And these guys are from Kansas City who have been so strict and so focused and, come on, pray, you know. And then just to see them in the river like they were was really, really did my heart good. But anyway, then what's going on with John Kilpatrick now in Alabama again and just all over the place. The river of God is really, really flowing everywhere. I'll be going to Ghana in November and then Turkey. Guess what? The river of God is flowing. Dan Slade just met with some missionaries who work in Iran, and they're estimating at least 1 million young people who have converted to Christianity. They're on fire for God. They're watching everything they can on the internet and everything because they're thirsty for this new wine of the Spirit. See, the world is getting it, and it's polarizing. The darkness is getting darker, and the light in the kingdom is getting brighter and brighter and brighter. Okay, so Jesus made all this wine, and it was a miracle. And he says, every man at the beginning puts out the good wine, and then after everybody's had too much to drink or whatever, then the cheap stuff, and then nobody even notices. But you have kept the good wine until now. What does that say? That means the power and the release of the anointing that God is about to do is going to be the best yet. Now, when you think about the book of Acts, it's pretty good, wasn't it? In the early church, the revival was pretty good. And the things we've seen are pretty good. And 94 and 95 and so on, and up to the present day. It's amazing all the stuff that has happened. But the best is now upon us. We are entering in to that third day, that third millennium, where the best is now being poured out. And it says, this beginning of signs Jesus did in Cana of Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed on him. Kind of a strange miracle, really, for your first miracle. What's your first miracle, Jack? A healing in Brazil. What was your first miracle, John? A headache leaving. How about you, Jim?
Someone's back was healed.
Someone's back was healed. What about you then, Emily?
At one time, and she was having a lot of pain in her body, and she was even deaf in her ear, and I was in the main church that night, and by faith I just placed my hand in her ear, and she says, oh my goodness, it's gone. She ended up going up, giving a testimony, and they point a finger and say, it was God, it was not me, but it was God. I just stand in faith.
Isn't it amazing how nobody turned water into wine? See that? I'm the same. I mean, my first one, I don't even remember now, but it would have been a healing for sure. Because, see, we value that. That's helping people. But, hey, water, wine, I mean, they could have done without the wine. What's that all about? How many think they didn't need more wine, really? Did they? How many agree with me? They had had enough already. They'd run out. So Jesus turned around and made another 150 gallons of the stuff. It wasn't just what they dipped out and somehow the little cup they had that miraculous changed. No, I think the whole six water pots were absolutely changed into new wine. And boy, that was a wedding, an unforgettable wedding right there. His first miracle is celebrating the joy of the Lord and the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's so awesomely symbolic. And this is what God is doing in our day. Now look, the people you're going to win are so burdened down with disappointment, with the cares of this life. People are worried about losing their jobs, losing their marriages, losing their homes, losing this, losing that. Like, what's going to happen? That's the kind of the thing that's hanging in the air out there right now. What's going to happen? How many would like to know what's going to happen? The world's going to get darker and the kingdom's going to get lighter and Jesus is going to return and we're all going to live happily ever after with a few wars in between. All right? But this is your generation that you're called to win. And like I said, I think you're going to be the heroes of heaven, because even when you go to school, people go to school in good faith, and many schools, the secular schools at least, are telling the kids that there is no God, that you were actually evolved out of a slime pit, and, you know, a lightning struck a slurry of chemicals and dirt and stuff like that, and wouldn't you know, something living came out of it. And that living thing, where it had the intelligence to keep on improving itself over billions of years until now we have horses and dogs and butterflies and people. Isn't that amazing? Do you know something? That's a lie. It's not true. It's any old excuse to try to justify the belief that I don't want to believe in God, because if there is a God, he's going to make me answer to him. And the problem is they don't know how nice he is. You know, I heard an interesting fact about that one British scientist. What's his name? Stephen Hawking. Stephen Hawking. How many have heard of him? He's the crippled guy in a wheelchair that can only talk through a computer, but he's really, really bright at some levels. He's very, very intelligent, however, not intelligent enough to know that there is a God. So, you know, you got to take that into account. But anyway, he wrote a book recently that said, we do not need a God to end up with the universe, something to that effect. And he's crusading about that. And then went on to talk about the fact that there are probably other forms of life on other distant planets. So, I mean, that's kind of a stretch. I mean, if there's no God, for sure, but there may well be aliens. That's amazing. But, you know, the fact that I wanted to share that I learned was he had, for much of his life, a beautiful Christian wife who cared for him, who nursed him, who looked after him, who he's just recently divorced. And see, underneath all of that bravado about there is no God, underneath that is a man hurting, angry at God, saying, if there is a God, then why am I in this wheelchair in such a helpless state? And that's a dilemma that many, many people have. If there is a God, then why is life not going better for me and everybody around me? And see, the day's coming when he is going to put it right. But meanwhile, that job has been delegated to you and I. So we can get filled up with him. We can be representatives of the Father's love. We can be ambassadors of reconciliation. And then we can take this good news of the kingdom out to a broken, hurting world where they can experiment with, experience, and come into powerful contact and connection with the God of love so that they're transformed never to be the same again. And you know what? You'll have the time of your life on that mission. And sometimes I think we spend almost too much time trying to improve or get Christians all healed up when all the excitement really is winning the lost. That's where the fun is. And so if you just get good and filled up with that new wine, so you don't care anymore what people think, and then just go on out there and win some of them, it's going to make a difference. And I know that many of our cell leaders now are starting in on to the global priorities, principles, the red stuff. It is going to make a huge difference. You know why? You'll be able to take that into your workplace and tell them, hey, here's how to live life. And in the context of those round tables, people are going to be sharing hearts. I'm expecting at least 1,000 converts out of that between now and this time next year. I really am. I think that's light. I think it's just going to set off such a chain reaction. But that's only one thing. Imagine what happens when the real power shows up. Now, Randy reminded us of a prophecy we had way back in 94, and it was this. The Lord just came on Shirley Smith one night, and she brought a word to us, and she says, guys, the Lord wants you to know that he's going easy on you now so you won't be terrified when the real power shows up. And, I mean, we were kind of on the edge at that time. We thought, wow, you know, like people are flipping and flopping and, you know, spinning and doing all kinds of things, roaring. I mean, it was amazing. It was intense. He's going to do that so that, that was a warm-up, in other words, so we won't be terrified when the real power shows up. I like that, though, don't you? How many want a church that's just a little bit scary to go to? Are you sure? Now, see, look around. That's only maybe 10% of the hands went up here. Think about it. I'm talking about scary because of the powerful, impacting presence, true presence of God. He's so unpredictable, you never know what's going to happen. How many want a church like that? It's yours. It's yours. That's this church. And all we got to do is a couple of things, like spend time in his presence, have a secret life with the Lord, a life of prayer, and then get filled up and then release it wherever you go. And the day is coming. I mean, the Lord just reassured me. I'm just the other day, I think we were in England, and we had some wonderful, wonderful healings there. And I'm like, Lord, thank you for all these healings. But on a scale of 10, they're kind of like threes and fours. You know, backache, earache, you know, the odd deaf ear, blind eye, this and that. But there were people there in wheelchairs that had been in them for years. And I said, Lord, I want the day to come when we stand up in the crowd and say, all right, I want all the wheelchairs to come forth right now. We're just going to empty these and then we'll get on with the meeting. Something like that. And we start with the ones, the hopeless cases. Because that's exactly what Jesus did. Can you imagine the impact of Peter and John going to the temple at the beautiful gate? And here's this guy that, for some reason or other, Jesus had left alone. And he's begging. And everybody knew him. Oh, yeah, the beggar at the golden gate, you know. And he says, you know, he's asking for money. Do you have an alms? And Peter said to him, I don't have silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and pulled him up on his feet. And a man who had been born crippled over 40 years of age instantaneously leapt to his feet and started running and leaping and praising God. And that shook up the whole temple. All the priests knew that guy. The high priest knew that guy. All the Levites knew that guy. All the merchants knew that guy. And now he's running around, and they're saying, this Jesus who we crucified is now raising this guy from the dead. That's impact. There were thousands that came to the Lord in those days, and many, many, many of the priests believed. Why? Because of the power of the gospel. And so this thing that when we talk about his presence, young people, I want you to honor and desire that presence of the Holy Spirit more than anything else in all of your life. When you get filled with him, I think that's what holiness is. When you're filled up with the presence of God, you don't want to do things that grieve him. So it's not a straitjacket of good behavior that we're looking for. It's just being filled with the Spirit. All that new wine, and there's abundance of it right now. Time's gone. Let's stand up. Holy Spirit, I thank you for a room full of under 30s who are excited about the kingdom of God and who have somewhat of an understanding about the power of your spirit and the love of God. And so, Lord, we just pray that you will begin to visit them. In Joel chapter 2, we see the prophecy recorded. It shall come to pass, says God, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters will prophesy. Young men will see visions. Old men will dream dreams. On my servants, on my handmaidens, I will pour out my spirit on all of them. It happened in its fulfillment in Acts chapter 2, and if it was being fulfilled then at the end times, how much more in our day, 2,000 years later? God is pouring out his spirit on you, and the new wine is ready. Why don't you just take your glasses right here, just... And if I say imaginary glasses, you get the idea, but they're not, they need to be real. Hold up a spiritual container that will hold that spiritual new wine. When you do that, one guy's got a barrel, good. And just hold that up and say, Lord, fill my cup with that heavenly new wine right now. I absolutely want it because I care about my generation. I want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. Come on, hold up your glass. Hold it up to heaven. Say, fill it up, Lord. Now drink it down. Now once again, you're not drinking imaginary wine here. This is the wine of the Holy Spirit. This is the wine that Jesus made abundance. This is the new wine that he has saved till now. Lord, oh, I want to drink of you. We need to do this at least one more time. Hold up your glasses now. Come on. You got to play, everybody. You got to do this. You'll be amazed because an electricity will come upon you, I'm sure. Father, fill my cup with your promised Holy Spirit. I want to live a supernatural Christian life full of the Holy Spirit and power and love. Fill my cup, Lord. Oh, now drink that down. Oh, yeah. Glug, glug, glug. Chug, chug, chug. Here we go. More, oh, Lord. More, more, more. It is your presence that we long for. Oh, yeah. Now we're getting there. Some of you are starting to feel that weightiness of his presence on you. You're starting to feel a little better. But hold your glasses up one more time. Wonderful Holy Spirit. Fill my cup with the new wine, O Lord. Ah. Now, pour this one on the top of your head, you know. Ah. Lord Jesus. Now I want you to turn to one or two people near you and just say, may the fire of God come upon you and burn on you right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Let the glory of God come upon these young people right here. We want that fire. We want that glory. We are not ashamed or embarrassed about your presence, O Lord. Ah. Fire on them here. Fire on them here. Jesus, let it come more and more and more and more. Fire on them here in Jesus' wonderful name. We love your kingdom, Lord. We love that there's joy in the house of the Lord. I thank you that the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and power. Let it be poured out in this place my God. The new wine of the Spirit. Listen, John chapter 7, Jesus said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come unto me and drink. And then out of his innermost being, there will flow rivers of living water. Yes, this he spoke of the Spirit, which those who believe on him would receive. Lord, we want that new wine of the Holy Spirit in this place. Let it come. Let it come. Let it come. Now I'm going to ask the leaders.